Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Jason Strickland of the News Tribune. And before Jason and I start to talk about things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Jason's conversation with Jays head coach Scott Bailey.
As far as your all's offense, they're a team that stops the run pretty good. Had to try a lot of different things in the run game to try to get something against them.
Yeah, block people. They're a defense that doesn't get out of position, so you gotta block them out of position. Very, very fundamentally solid defense. This is a week where you're probably not gonna fool too many people out of position. You're gonna block them out of position.
For the five that you had on the offensive line the last couple weeks, were you happy with how they played the last couple weeks together?
We're able to run the ball pretty well. There at the end of the game, Hickman are able to run the ball and run the clock out. That's, you look at that and you just kind of think that that offensive line kind of grew up a little bit, starting to come together a little bit.
Yeah. Well, how important is it to have drives like that, especially against a team like Goliath? Their offense can score pretty quick.
Their offense can't score if they're standing on the sideline, so it's very important to have long drives. It gives our defense a chance to rest and be fresh when they go out for their series. Got to have the ball to score, so if your offense can keep possession of the ball, the other team will have a chance to score. So for us, getting a run game going, I mean, for us here this season, getting a run game going is important. But for me as a coach, it's been this way for over a decade. You know, just get your run game going, and normally good things can happen. The weeks that you have struggled to get your run game going, that's when you might run into a problem. So recipe really doesn't change. If you can run the football, it sets up a lot of other stuff. If you can stop the run. Really, the offenses today are so good that you're really not going to stop them. I mean, if anybody thinks they're just going to shut them down, it's probably not realistic. But if you can limit what they want to do best and force them to do what they want to do second, I think that's a win for your defense, that they're having to do something other than what they want to do most. So that would be a goal for us, make them do what they want to do second or least instead of what they want to do most. And then normally big games come down to some type of special teams play. Either somebody makes a big special teams play or somebody screws up a big special teams play. So we want to be the team that makes a big special teams play and not the team that screws it up.
All right, that was Jays head coach Scott Bailey. And before we look ahead to this week's game that's got the attention of the whole town, I think we'll look back a little bit because it bears looking back for a big 17-14 win at Hickman last week for the Jays, Jason. And that's one of those games where, you know what, anytime the Jays beat Hickman, I'm sure they're pleased. But I think just the way that game kind of played out is also kind of, you know, it calls for celebration.
Well, yeah, it was a third straight win, obviously. But we don't want to talk about that. Everybody wants to hear about this week's opponent.
We'll get to it. We'll get
Tony,
to it. Patience.
What are you talking about?
All good things in moderation.
I guess we'll make them wait a little bit. Listen to the entire podcast.
Exactly.
We'll talk about this week's game later. getting a win, a three-point win, 17-14 against Hickman going to Columbia. And it's obviously based on my prediction last week is not how I envisioned that one going.
Right.
I thought Jefferson City would kind of take control early and coast a little bit like they did kind of against, you know, Capital City Sedalia. You know, once the game kind of got rolling, that Jefferson City, you know, kind of took control.
Sure.
But it was tied at 7 at halftime.
Yep.
It was a ball game. And then they came out right – you know, they get a good, I think, kickoff return to start the second half, which Coach Bailey's always excited when, you know,
right.
He likes to talk about special teams.
Sure.
Always. And we'll talk about a little bit more about special teams because there's a little wrinkle with Jefferson City with scheduling and everything because they're going to be missing a couple guys.
Again,
special
another
teams.
Thing to wait for.
A little teaser there. but they started the drive. like maybe at the 50-yard line or so to start the second half. Not bad. They get in field goal range, and well, they Basil Ahmed got his chance to kick another field goal. He hadn't made one yet this year. He has the leg to do it, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew that just if you just watch him in warm-ups, he can kick probably a 50-yard field goal.
Right.
It's easy to get in his range. Talking to Coach Bailey, he put in some extra practice last week. Some of the missed field goals were bothering him a little bit.
Sure.
And he came up big, made a 40-yarder. And that ended up being, you know, a difference in the game. You win by 3 points. But I think a takeaway from last week is, you know, you could look at the last drive of the game. You know, they're up by 10 points late in the second half, and Coach Bailey isn't really concerned with he's more of an offensive guy anyway. But he's not concerned with, you know, if Hickman scores, you know, that's fine. We're up by 2 scores. It matters what we do when we get the ball.
Right.
Can we just keep the ball out of their hands? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did. You get the ball with 6:29 on the clock, and you run. I mean, Seth Brooks just pounded his way, you know, and Coach Bailey even joked after the game, like, you're probably pretty sore there, Seth, aren't you?
Right.
After that drive, I think he ran it probably 7 times of the 13 plays they ran. Well, I say 13 plays, 2 of them were knees. You know, kneel downs. So they gained the yardage they needed. You know, Seth Brooks, I think they gave maybe the Jacob Dupe a couple times, and they ran out the clock. They did their job, and he kind of challenged his offensive line to, because they hadn't been pushing, you know, Hickman back.
Right.
You know, Hickman had been kind of winning that battle.
Sure.
Jefferson City was having to kind of, you know, go more of a toss, you know, running game. They mm-hmm. weren't able to, you know, physical inside. They were kind of having to give it to, you know, David Bethune on the outside, doing some options and toss plays. And even on that drive, they that kind of helped set up, you know, a reverse call. They had a 3rd and 13, and, you know, Coach Bailey kind of saved a reverse. You know, they tossed it out to David Bethune, and then here comes Marshawn Dye the other way, and he picks up the first down. So that was, you know, a good play call in that situation. They had been kind of setting that up throughout the game,
right?
But he challenged that offensive line to win the battles, and they did that, and they converted a couple third downs and a fourth down, and it's because they won the physical battle at the line of scrimmage.
And I think that's a perfect transition point to head into this week, because I think ball control could be a huge part of how this plays out this week for Jeff City. Just for some bookkeeping stuff, Jays are now 3-3 overall, 3-1 in the Central Missouri Athletic Conference or Activities Conference. It's you're getting the big dog now. Helias is 5-0, 4-0 in the CMAC. They're rolling offensively, and so when you're talking about a Jays team that maybe is finding ways to control, you know, tempo, control time, control the clock, that could be huge this week. When you talk about a Helias offense that's firing on all cylinders, keeping the ball out of their hands might be your best chance at winning this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, kind of going back to how the last drive of the Hickman game went, it's keeping your best defense is sometimes your offense.
Sure.
in that
Absolutely.
Way, and that's what they have to do against Helias.
Right.
Is, you know, the Crusaders are coming in here. They're first in the conference. No one's really been able to touch them this year.
Right.
They're undefeated, and they have a very balanced offense. They can throw. They can run. They have some really talented receivers. They have a couple of running backs. From what I hear, their offensive line, that's really been kind of a difference this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is Helias's offensive line is blocking really well. You know, they've had their running backs, and they're able to have more success because of that. And so you don't want them to have the ball. And
right.
To do that, if you can have a drive that takes up 6 minutes,
yeah,
I mean, and hold Helias, and that can just hold Helias to, you know, say a possession a quarter.
Sure.
That's not bad.
I was going to say, that's going to be a thing. If you can shorten this game as much as possible and literally just make it a thing where you go, okay, you know, 12-minute quarters can go by in a hurry sometimes in high school football, where you just go, okay. Sometimes you can look up and go, oh my gosh, you know. Now, sometimes with an offense like Hawaii's that can score quickly, sometimes those quarters can get drawn out because it can only maybe take them a minute and a half to score a touchdown.
That's the thing is, you know, I was kind of looking back and wondering how many of their touchdowns have been, you know, big plays. Because I also talked to Jay's defense coordinator, Jeff Jacques, and he's like, we have to stop the big plays.
Yeah.
And so I was curious, well, how many of their touchdowns are long touchdowns? So I think they've had like 41 or 42 touchdowns this season, and 14 of those have gone for more than 30 yards.
Okay.
They've had some, you know, 70-yard touchdowns, which – you know, the Jays have that ability too. I think they would maybe rather not do that this week,
right?
Because if you have a 70-yard touchdown yourself, you're just giving Helias the ball right back. But yeah, the plan right now for Jefferson City's defense, don't allow the big plays.
Yeah.
If they're going to score on you, make them take off the clock.
Sure.
As well.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And you know what? It's I guess I'm not going to be telling any tales outside of school, but the fact that the last couple weeks, you know, the Jays have, in the last 3 weeks, have given up, what, 20 points total in the last three games. Granted, it's against maybe some of the weaker teams in the CMAC, so take that with some grain of salt. But you're also talking about a defense that has found its footing as the season's gone on. So you've got a defense that's kind of trending in the right direction. Obviously, you're getting the biggest challenge that you've faced so far this year on your schedule. But at the same point, you've got, you know, as things go well for especially high school kids, that becomes kind of infectious. You know, you gain a level of confidence sometimes that, you know, helps you play a little bit faster, a little bit looser, you know, a little bit freer. Whereas, you know, that's the sort of thing that can be kind of, you know, become a self-propagating thing where you just go, okay, you know what, we've done this before, let's keep this thing rolling in the right direction. And obviously that's what you want to try to do this week.
Well, we've talked about how their offense has kind of expanded as the year's gone on. I think their defense has kind of done the same thing. They've tried a few different ways to especially just, you know, stop the running game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it worked against Capital City, that, you know, putting kind of five guys up at the line of scrimmage, using a linebacker right there in the middle up against the center. And they tried that a little bit, you know, right off the bat against Hickman, and it just wasn't working. But they have – but what – they don't go in with one defensive plan.
Okay.
Is what, you know, has really kind of helped Jeff City. I mean, they can – they make adjustments defensively. And I think that has kind of helped them as well. They can line up in different ways, put different players. They've used a lot of different players on defense. I think that has helped. So if certain guys you think have certain strengths in certain defenses or doing a certain job, you can put those guys out there and try a few different things. And, you know, going against a team that has averaged 53 points since week two,
right,
you know, in Helias, you might have to bring out everything you can. You know, I'm assuming trying to come up with a defensive game plan against Elias is definitely going to be different than, you know, the past 3 weeks trying to stop, you know, Capital City or Smith Cotton or Hickman, teams that just haven't been able to score, you know, consistently this year. So they're going to have to try, I think, numerous things defensively to try to do what they can to limit the Crusaders.
We alluded to this earlier, but if you're able to do these things, and if you're able to have a good defensive effort, a good offensive effort to keep the ball away from Helias, and you get it to a point where this is maybe a game where, you know, hopefully coming down the stretch, if you're the Jays, it's you know, it's a one possession game. Unfortunately, you know, the kicking game might now be maybe a problematic issue this week, whereas if you're kind of maybe solving it last week and finding a kicker that can get you some points on the board, then this is the thing where you go, okay, well, maybe this week now we don't have that weapon, unfortunately.
Right. Well, one of the things that has kind of been a trouble spot for Jeff City is when they go on the long drive, sometimes they're not able to quite finish it. But when you have Basil as your kicker, well, that can work out sometimes.
I mean,
you know, he can kick those. If you're in range for a 30, 35-yard field goal, 45-yard field goal, you're not hesitating to put him out there, get 3 points on the board.
Right.
Not going to have that luxury this week. He's also one of the top soccer players for the Jays. So him, and so they won't have him for PATs or field goals. And they won't have Joe Custer, who does kickoffs as well. They're going to be playing soccer Friday night and on Saturday, so they won't be available. Now they've run into this situation earlier in the year to where Josh Copeland had to handle the opening kickoff, and then when the Jays scored a touchdown earlier in the game, they went for two. So they've gone for two once. It was successful. We might have to see that a few more times. If they don't find someone that can kick an extra point, Jeff City might need to go for two. That could be beneficial.
Sure.
It could not. But obviously,
just
not
an
having
interesting
not,
subplot to have
yeah,
to watch.
But
this
not
week.
Having that ability to, you know, kick a field goal, just get points out of a nice drive,
right.
Or even just on kickoffs, because Custer has either, you know, he gets a couple of touchbacks, but then I think he's good at, you know, placing the kickoffs in a way where it's tough to return it,
mm-hmm.
and that has, you know, completely just changed, you know, field position for the Jays. You know, it's helped their defense out a lot. He's gotten better with it, and that's just something that, you know, in a game like this week, you know, when you want everybody available,
right,
and you don't have, you know, two key guys on special teams,
yeah,
available, that could come into play.
Absolutely. I can't believe we've gone almost 13 minutes without getting to the point where you go, this is a game that, again, 7 o'clock Friday, Atkins Stadium. This is a game that for many of us, and I've lived in Jefferson City since 92, and there was a time where you just gave up hope that you'd ever see the Jays and Helias play each other on a football field. You just went, this is just probably never going to happen. Well, obviously, in the last couple of years, some changes have happened in town. The opening of a second public high school has kind of, you know, made this a possibility. But this is one of those games that I think there's going to be a different buzz about this game than you see with most games. I mean, yes, it's a time of COVID. Yes, it's going to be a time of restricted attendance. Yes, it's there's all sorts of weird things that are going to make this a little bit different. But it is the first year that Jays and Helias are going to play, so I think that can't be overstated, because that this will bring a level of enthusiasm to the proceedings that you wouldn't normally see in a regular season game.
Well, it almost seems fitting that it's 2020 where the Jays and Crusaders are finally playing in a football game.
Absolutely.
Because of everything else that's going on, strange things.
Yep.
You know, but yeah, Helias and Jefferson City haven't played, you know, decided, yeah, let's play a football game against each other, play everything else.
Right.
It just hasn't happened. It took some outside sources to make it happen.
Sure.
You know, opening a second school, and then Sedalia, you know, deciding, hey, we want to be in a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so Columbia and Jeff City come together. Well, we need more than just us in a conference. Hey, Sedalia, you know, let's just make this a conference.
Right.
And like, well, if you're going to be in a conference, you have to play everybody in the conference.
Exactly.
It took a lot of things to make it happen. I think everybody's happy. It's finally going to happen. It's not, obviously not, I don't think it's great timing for them to play each other, because there probably would have been some better games, maybe in the past, you know, especially with Jefferson City, you know, when they were, you know, contending for state titles and things like that. Even just recently when Helias was doing that same thing, I think there could have been some even bigger, you know, kind of matchups to better, I guess, years to start it. But hey, I mean, you get it.
Right.
You get the game.
Absolutely.
There's not going to be, you know, a lot of people obviously think that if they played each other where everybody's allowed in, it would have been, you know, 10,000 people. You know, it would have been a heck of a scene.
Yep.
There at Atkins Stadium. But I think it's still going to be, I mean, they're lifting the restrictions a little bit. They're going to allow a lot of people into this game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun atmosphere. And I think there's, you know, depending on who you talk to, they kind of want to try to downplay it a little bit.
Sure.
Just because it's, you want the kids to kind of focus on trying to win a football
right.
game and not, you know, going back and forth with the opponent on the field. It's like, focus on doing your job on the football
yeah.
field.
You don't want the weight of decades worth of expectations, you know, weighing on these kids, because it is at the end of the day, just one football game. Obviously, it's got a lot that kind of makes it a little more important than regular games, but it is one of those things where you don't want to have to put the weight of all of it and go, hey, guys, we got to win this game, because this is the first time we've played them, so we've got to get that 1-0 lead in the series, you know, when you know, we want to get this off on the right foot. you know, there's enough things that are going to make this game tough for both sides that you have to go, all right, let's just try to focus on the things that we can control and not worry about the kind of off-the-field, you know, historical stuff that, you know, some people will bring to this matchup.
Right. I mean, I know everybody wants to win that first one, and I think right now you think, well, yes, you want to win the first one, make your mark in the rivalry. But if you think of it, you know, 10, 20 years down the road, if they're still – if this conference, you know, holds together and they're still playing every year, you know, it's whoever is leading the it's leading the series that's
right.
important. I mean, will you remember who won the first game? You know, so many years down. You know, some people might, but if you win the first one and then you lose the next five, I mean,
right.
But I think it's just, you know, don't put too much pressure on. Hey, we need to win the first one.
Yeah.
You know, just I think a lot of this game can hinge on just, you know, your mental state, I guess, and just try to, you know, block out, oh, we're playing Helias, we're playing Jefferson City.
Right.
Just go out there and play,
yeah.
You know, game plan like you would and play like you would. That might be kind of cliche, but I think it's very important, and especially I think there's just added, you know, pressure on some of these on these kids, because
yep.
everybody's been waiting this game for so many
right.
for so many years, and both sides want to win it so bad. It's like just let the kids go out there and play.
So when we let the kids go out there and play, who's going to win this one this week?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know if I should make a prediction. I might get some backlash on whichever side here. I think this is a tough one for Jefferson City.
Yep.
I mean, you're 3-1 in the conference, and that looks, you know, it's great that you're up there. You're tied for second in the conference right now, but you know, you've beaten the teams that you're expected to beat. This is a different challenge.
Sure,
Helias is rolling right along. I think they're a team that's going to be contender, you know, maybe to play in the state title game in Class 4, and I think they get the win. I'm going to say Helias 35, Jefferson City 14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Jason Strickland, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.